I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Audio courtesy the Kevin Stefanski Coaches Show. Good morning, Tone.
Hey.
How you doing?
You know what? I'm good.
It's game day.
Yeah. It is, even though I regretted to inform Ken. You guys were talking about the games last night. I go, there were games last night.
Well, I don't think anybody cares about other preseason games, do they?
Well, one of your rivals and your week one opponent started their starting quarterback and their 99 Madden receiver.
They did. I wouldn't have cared if the Guardians were playing last night. Like, you're going to watch the Guardians. I'm going to watch. Sorry. I mean, I got the NFL Plus thing, so I can go back and watch this later if I want to.
I don't know. Judging by the ratings these preseason games get, there are clearly a lot of baseball fans that watch this instead.
Oh, without a doubt. There's also gamblers, and there's also people just want to see some football, for crying out loud. So, I mean, it's not like it. Again, if they didn't draw ratings, they wouldn't do them. But they draw ratings, people watch them no matter what they want to say. Still, the Pro Bowl still drew a rating.
I mean, I'm looking at the lower bowl. Is this game being played in Seattle?
In Seattle.
It is jammed. I mean, it looks like a regular season game. I can only see the lower bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. They get them in there. We have a game tonight, and I did some soul searching yesterday. I really did do some soul searching, Tone. You wouldn't believe this. I was standing there in the newsroom over at 8, and I was looking out the window. And at that newsroom, you can see, guys, I'm dead serious about this. Boy, you're having an existential crisis over Browns quarterbacks. Maybe you need to take a step back there and go take a walk or something like that. But either way, I did some soul searching yesterday. Because I'm looking at the lake and I'm just kind of thinking. And then it kind of hit me. And I think I've made a terrible mistake. And I need you to help me through this. Because I will not discuss Shedeur Sanders as if he's a fifth-round pick. I think he's better than that. I think that we've convoluted it a little bit with the Dylan Gabriel pick, but I mean, if you were to go dollars to donuts with every Browns fan out there and go, hey, who do you think really has a higher ceiling? In all honesty, I would say the majority are going to say Shedeur.
Would the majority in the Browns front office say that?
I'm not sure, but I asked Browns fans.
Probably wouldn't, right?
But
because
this
he
is
ended
my,
up going fifth and one went third.
And this is my problem. This is my crisis. I really, really, really want something that probably isn't very realistic whatsoever. I want to skip steps on the way back to being, like I've tasted competitive football twice over the last 5 years. And you become, when you get a taste, all you want to do is chase that dragon and get it back. And I think I wanted to skip steps on the way back there. Like him becoming our franchise quarterback, the chances of that are actually, I got to admit, they're low. They are low chances. But because of the situation we're in, I can't help but entertain them. Like Anthony, like Albert Breer, there was a video of you and I arguing about Shedeur Sanders yesterday, and Albert Breer, who comes on the station every Tuesday, or basically, you know, whenever he suits it, but Albert Breer SI had said, boy, they aren't talking about Riley Leonard getting a shot in the Colts open QB competition this way. Why? Are they charting Jalen Milroe's first team reps in Seattle? I go, well, these situations are not like this situation. Anthony Richardson, they want him to be their starter. I don't know. He's regressing to the point where I don't even know if he knows about football anymore. Like the game and has seen the game, according to yesterday and what I saw yesterday, the clips this morning. When it comes to Jalen Milroe, I mean, you got Sam Darnold there. You brought him in for a reason. Sam Darnold's going to be your starter. Here, you got a 40-year-old quarterback who nobody, and I I think Albert would have to say, does anybody expect him to start past the month of October? And I'm being generous. Does anybody expect Joe Flacco to start past the month of October?
I don't think so.
Okay. So
of course, now I don't even know if he's starting week one anymore after some of the stuff that came out from Carolina.
Well, I would certainly start in week one, obviously. But either way, I mean, we still got a few more weeks to discuss that. Hell, it's a month until the season starts. But when you go back to this, it's like, okay, nobody expects him to start even past the month of October, and that's being generous here. So then it becomes a golden opportunity. Well, Kenny Pickett, there's already stink on him, no matter what anybody wants to say. Dylan Gabriel, it's a questionable pick. We'll see. Again, I think you're right. The people in Berea would have a lot more faith. Technically, they're in Charlotte right now. But the people in the building would have a lot more faith in Dylan Gabriel than what the general public has. And then you have this guy where I can't just treat him like Clayton Thorson. I mean, I yelled at you about it a couple days ago to the point where now I'm raspy over it, where Mel Kiper wasn't getting emotional on TV and basically to the point of tears over Clayton Thorson. He wasn't doing that. Like, this is, we cannot stick our head in the sand and act like this is a normal fifth round pick situation. However, I also can't force a situation that might not be there, because I'm not there every single day. I'm not with him every single day. We may find out tonight, depending on some of the things that he does. Maybe he is behind. Maybe he does need more time with this. Now, I'm sure people just blame Kevin Stefanski, and I flirt with the notion myself. Why? Because I'm so desperate to dig ourselves out of this hole of what we have. I see Myles Garrett. I see Denzel Ward. And I go, we have these players that if you had a quarterback, what would we be saying about this team? We have these players that one is a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer, and I'm just going to waste another year with him. And so I desperately, and when people get desperate, what do? They don't think clearly. And so I'm not thinking totally clearly. And so I desperately want to skip steps to try to dig us out of the hole that we've created. And that may come at the cost of whether or not Shedeur Sanders is very much ready. Does any of that make sense to you?
It does. But it's funny because I got a DM yesterday from somebody that works in the NFL that listens to the show.
Kenny lose his mind.
They cannot believe we are talking about Shedeur Sanders the way we're talking about him. They think people around the league are laughing at this situation. They can't believe that there is any charting of passes for a fifth round pick when he's the guy they actually have the least amount of assets towards in the quarterback room. Flacco, they're paying this year. He's getting $4 million, but with incentives could be way more. They traded a player and a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett. They obviously took Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shedeur, and Shedeur is there. And then, like I said yesterday, everything they are leaking to the public is to try to tell you, yeah, he's fourth on the depth chart, and their placement of him and him not getting reps. Like I said yesterday on social media, I think it's time that we just for your own sanity, whether or not you think he's going to be great, whether or not you think he's going to be out of the league in 2 years, whatever it is your feeling is, just go into any Shedeur conversation with, he's a fifth round pick. If you look at him through that lens, you're not going to be disappointed. In fact, you only are going to feel great if he ends up playing well.
I'm going to end up being disappointed no matter
what.
So
lower your expectations, I guess, would be the message I would have.
But
even though I'm excited for him, I am pumped. It's really the only reason I'm dialed in tonight. I mean, I would have watched, but I would not have watched all that much, I'll be honest.
But
first preseason game.
And that's part of what we're
fighting
here. Given
the guys that aren't playing.
You know, Anthony, I had written down as a conversation piece before we knew Shedeur was going to start in this game, does Anthony owe it to you guys to watch the preseason? Because you're famous for, hey, I'm going to the feast. Hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm not. Like, it almost became a badge of honor. Like, I'm not watching these games live. You would watch something else, and I'll get to it when I get to it, because, guys, I'm not going to sit down and break down. Kenny will break down Jackson Barton and whether or not he can make the 53-man roster. I'm not going to sit there and do like you, and that's fine. Like, it is a show. That's part of it, okay? But that's part of what makes you fun. But then Shador comes in, and I go, well, then we can't treat him like a fifth-round pick, because if it was just, if it were Mike White starting for the Browns, we'd go, well, what the hell? And I think a lot of people would be making probably old mayor jokes and alpaca jokes if he were starting for the Browns in a preseason game, number one.
Yesterday we went over some of the quarterbacks that had thrown a ton of passes, and one of them I didn't remember.
I have a follow-up to that. Yeah, that's right. Well, we had one where we didn't know how to pronounce his name. You thought it was a misspelling.
Kyle Laletta.
Yeah. And he played in three games and just threw and threw and threw.
I thought
and
you were looking at Kevin's Minnesota time.
And quite honestly, yeah, I did. Honestly, I did as well. I thought some of those quarterbacks were Minnesota.
Were right.
Yeah. Were some of them Minnesota quarterbacks?
No,
they were Browns quarterbacks.
Anthony was right. Those were Browns quarterbacks. I don't remember those games.
I don't remember them either. So
I don't think everybody is as dialed in as they say they
are. No, they're not. But going back to your NFL friend and going to like what Albert writes, right? I got no problem with Albert Breer, guys. Let's leave that. Obviously, he's a friend of the station.
Uh-oh. If you had to say that at the start of the sentence, where's this going?
Well, no, because it sounds like I'm attacking him. Because, I say, well, you can't stick your...
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
You can't stick your head in the sand. You have to see that the guy is a major celebrity. And you have, in unprecedented times, you've had an unprecedented fall from the first round to the fifth round, where if you get a guy that a lot of people did project, respected people projected him to be a first round pick, you get that guy in the fifth round, people are going to get excited about that. But also like the Colts situation, Seattle situation, those teams aren't trying to dig themselves out of a hole that you created by giving up three first-round picks and $235 million guaranteed to a quarterback that people do not want to play for you this year. He's already injured. He's coming back from injury. And the vast majority of Browns fans don't want to see that guy on the field. So we're looking for something to dig us out of the hole. So now I'm basically Chevy Chase in Vegas Vacation, where now I'm digging around the holes out in the desert with Cousin Eddie looking for money so I can go put money down on terrible table games to try to get this thing figured out, to try to make my money back, to dig myself out of this hole, because I don't want to waste any more time with great football players. Damn it, you people know that Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett are great football players. You need more than two football players to be able to do this. Then you got Joel Bitonio, you got Wyatt Teller, and DeJuan Jones is coming around, but he's young. I mean, see, I'm starting to get upset and worked up myself here because I just don't want to waste any time with guys that I know, and we all know, are fantastic. I don't want to waste any more time. And I know in the back of my mind, you're just going to have to waste that time. Usually, and why we remember a Johnny Unitas, why you remember a Tom Brady, is because they're the exception to the rule. They become legends. Late round cut guy or sixth round pick, they become legends. They're exceptions. We don't remember the also-rans that have been taken year in and year out in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, whatever, undrafted, whatever. You don't remember that. And more than likely, I'm just going to have to deal with this, and we're going to have to deal with this, and we cannot skip steps, and we're going to have to trudge forward. And then, honestly, you throw on that Arch Manning conversation yesterday right at the end of the show where his grandfather comes on and is like, yeah, he's going back in 2026, and people immediately start tweeting us. What do they start tweeting us? It's because of Jimmy. It's because of the Browns. They don't want to be a part of this mess. Nope, Eli wasn't going to be a part of the mess in San Diego. He's not going to allow his grandson to be a part of this mess here in Cleveland. No way, no how. And it just makes me even more desperate for Shador Sanders to do well because I think he has a higher ceiling than Nylan Gabriel and a lot of other fans do as well. Not guys in the office, but fans. So what I say to like Albert and what I say to your friend from the NFL is like, you guys aren't desperate. You guys aren't desperate. I'm desperate. So I'm acting in a way that if you and I were doing this show in Chicago and we were looking at videos of guys breaking down Shador Sanders, go, Judas Priest, this is nuts. That's my explanation. It's not a clear level of thinking.
But either way, I mean, regardless of the fact that he's buried on the depth chart, despite the fact that next week's going to be Kenny Pickett's week to shine, you know, in their joint practice situation with Philadelphia, regardless of any of the stuff that's going on, like, how much fun is it tonight when probably in reality, if we were looking at this situation, if it were any other team in the NFL, we would be probably going, who cares? It's a four straight quarterback. Not here. Like, here, there is general excitement, and you got a bunch of national talking heads who know every time they bring up Shedeur Sanders, the internet's going to go crazy. So yeah. That's why, you know what? There's a little bit of pressure tonight, and I love it. There should never be pressure with a four-string quarterback in a preseason game, but somehow here we are, and it makes tonight that much bigger when in 99% of situations, this night would be meaningless.
It would.
So it gave us real meaning.
Because think about this. Be honest. Like, you'd be curious. Like, well, Dylan, let's go under if they just drafted Dylan Gabriel and Dylan has a hamstring injury. Who starts tonight? Is it Joe? Or do they just get Snoop Huntley? What is the excitement in that? What is the excitement in any of that?
Non-entity.
I mean, you want to talk about the fart of all farts to kick off a
season.
Maybe
the rookies on defense?
No offense to Snoop, man, but under the same circumstances, Cannon? We just signed you. You just got off a plane. This thing is dead.
I'd rather have Kyle Lauletta.
Oh, this is dead on arrival here, man. You'd rather have Kyle Lauletta. I mean, it's just dead on arrival. So, yeah, there is some excitement to see because we're so I am so damn desperate to dig out of this hole, this terrible, terrible hole. Daryl had some interesting news yesterday. Did you see what Daryl posted yesterday out there? Got a lot of people's attention. Broward County, their court records yesterday. Quinshon Judkins, his attorney, filed yesterday to waive Judkins' right to a speedy trial, meaning the case could get pushed into early 2026. The question then became, all right, nobody's thrilled about this situation, clearly. What's this mean, though, for his situation with the Cleveland Browns? People just want to be sports fans here. He's not signed. I got to tell you, and everything that they've said kind of sounds like they're not going to sign him until this thing is taken care of.
I don't know.
But if you're waiving a right to a speedy trial, have you talked to anybody about this? Like, what's going on?
There are some legal people, legal experts.
Are they real ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. There are a few people that actually practice law that are online spitting out, 12-page threads on this. And a few of them said this could mean the opposite, that it's not going to be drawn out, that sometimes when this happens, this means they are closing in on a settlement behind the scenes, some sort of, ending to this.
What's the settlement behind the scenes with the court system?
Prosecutors and being able to take care of this, they could be closing in on it. So depending on it's just one of those, depending on who you talk to, who you hear from, obviously it's the way they're operating right now in Florida. We just don't know. Because there's just not a lot of real information coming out of there.
What's part of the frustrating thing, I think, for just a football fan is that this is only the first step. Like, this situation here would only be the first step. Then you got to get what contract are you going to sign? And the third thing is,
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's probably not even that in that order. What contract do you sign? But also, what's the NFL going to do about it? Because until it's settled or until the situation is resolved,
yeah.
What is the NFL going to do? I don't know if the NFL is just going to let him play while you have an open situation going on.
Yeah.
People do have the right to work. Boy, we went through that a few years ago.
But you can't let him play if you don't sign him.
But you can't let him play if you don't sign him. Exactly.
And then there's the commissioner's exempt list that comes into play if they do sign him. Like, if they sign him tomorrow,
yeah,
they'd get a ton of bad PR. But, Browns are used to that, and Browns have had no problems signing. I mean, Devin Bush is on the team. So, they've had a slew of other guys that have had issues that
These were all guys that were under contract with the Browns before these situations came to light. There's one guy that's under contract with the Browns that had situations come to light before. And how did that turn out for them PR-wise?
Yeah. But
I don't think they can sign him without this being resolved first.
I tend to agree with Owen just because I got to make sure nothing else is going to happen here. Like, this has to be just resolve it, and then we can talk about signing you. You're not under a contract right now. And it seems that they're in hearing Andrew Berry, hearing the Haslams, hearing Kevin Stefanski, it seems that they are in no hurry to get something down on paper with him before this is all taken care of here. Because I don't know how you sign a guy to a contract, something binding that you got to give him money and a signing bonus on, when he's got an open case like this where we don't know all the details just yet. I mean, you hear about how they didn't know, and then what the week off, they didn't know, but apparently there was some history there between him and her. I mean, this is, it's ugly, but it's also part of what happens. Sadly, it's part of what happens a lot in professional sports with this. So I don't think that they can just put him on the roster, but they wouldn't put him on the roster. You wouldn't just put him on the exempt list. But it's almost like you're signing up for more problems and more distractions. I don't know if it's a distraction in the locker room, but you're signing up for more problems, more distractions within your fan base that you probably don't want until it's done. Like, if they go, hey, we've come to an agreement. He has pleaded to this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. His punishment is this, that, and the other. He will take care of that during the winter of 2026 down here in Florida. Until then, he is free to work up in Cleveland, Ohio, this, that, and the other. And then you sign him to a contract. I think that would go over way better than anything else that you could think of. Because then it's just the first step towards, okay, you sign him to a contract, then he's on the exempt list. Then it's in Roger's court, and then what's Roger going to do over the entire thing? So right now, guys, that whole process, I'm thinking, I don't know if we're going to see him on the field this year. I don't think we're going to see him for the Browns.
That's what's so fascinating.
That's how I'm operating.
Is this thing immediately, that was kind of the way I was thinking a few days ago. And then when this came out and lawyers started weighing in and saying, oh, this actually means it could be heading towards a resolution. This is sometimes a tactic that does mean that talks have escalated behind the scenes to resolve something. Then immediately, if this did get resolved in the next week, my guess is the Browns would sign him. They'd get the bad PR. He would probably face some sort of suspension. And then here we go. So it's amazing that we are looking at two completely different paths here.
Well, listen, he will face some sort of legal penalty. It doesn't mean he can never work ever again. All right? He will face his legal penalty, and he will face an NFL penalty. So he faces both those. I also am thinking about not just that. It's like, all right, he's missed all of camp. I imagine he's going to miss the rest of camp. So he's going to miss the preseason. I'm just going to throw him in there on the football field. Now, at that time, you could say, who knows what the Browns record's going to be. I'm sure a lot of fans are sitting there going, bleep, Ken, why not? It ain't going to work like that. So I as of right now.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to that, though, is we have had everybody kind of tell us it is a running back. Like, the running back is the one position where you could see a player get thrown in. Like, coaches have thrown in running backs that they have just picked up and they've rushed for 100 yards in games. Like,
but in the type of offense that you run, if you're going to run play action and boot, hell, by the time he plays, Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel could be playing for you. So sure. Do you want to just have him out there and leave Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel naked out there to go get rocked? I don't think anybody else would want to do that.
Are these running backs that have been thrown in, and I you know, there are names that pop in my head, but none of them have ever been guys that have never had an NFL training camp before, right? Like, he's never had an NFL training camp. Like, they signed Kareem, you know, he was gone, and then he comes back when Nick Chubb gets the knee injury, right? And they throw him right back into the fire.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that's been in the NFL for a while, right? Like,
yes.
Has been through all of the hurdles of the offseason and the preseason leading
up
to
everything. And knows what your offense is doing. Yes.
You know, Quinshon's never even had, other than some mini camps, right? And some OTAs.
That's it.
That's his only NFL experience.
Yeah, just saying, if this were a quarterback, I would say right now his season's over.
At the same time,
a running back, I don't think his season's over. And I don't think Browns care about PR.
Run 45 dive. Go do it, Quinshon, right?
I think the Browns have proven over the years they'll draft guys with all sorts of red flags, asterisks, former, you know, police reports in college. They've never really cared about any of that. I mean, they might say they do, and they might bring in, you know, who was it they had come in and talk to to their team about domestic violence. The reality is, you know, on the police report, it does say this girlfriend of his has visible bruising to the face.
But
so he's absolutely going to get suspended.
Exactly. And it's not, but that's what I'm saying. How long is the suspension here? Yeah. How long does this go? Is it a standard six or how does that work?
What was Mike Hall last year?
It ended up being five with the time and everything like that. So again, I look at it and go, how quickly does it get resolved? And then how quickly do you sign him to a contract? Because I'm sure there might be some wrangling there. Maybe he's just desperate and he'll sign anything you put in front of him. And then you have to go through the NFL system. So it might be sooner than later. But as of right now, I'm looking at it and going, well, it's a second-round pick that just basically does not exist now. I've had first-round picks that haven't existed over the last 3 years. I can get used to that. So it's a second-round pick that just does not exist. And I think a lot of fans' problems is, it's like, hey, you sign up for the problems, you got to deal with it. Like the Bengals of the 2000s signed up for a lot of problems. They also went to the playoffs a bunch. They didn't win, but they went to the playoffs a bunch. If you knowingly sign up for the problems, that's one thing. But the whole, hey, babe in the woods routine to then going, oh, yeah, there was a history there. Beg pardon? So what do you know that you're getting into? I mean, sometimes it's like, hey, you don't know. Guys mess up. That's the nature of the business. Your product is people. It's tough. But in this case, what do you know? What don't you know? And then how do you get them out there on the football field? I mean, these are all big things that I think for a lot of fans go, hey, you know what? Season's going to be rough enough as it is. If he gets out there, fine. I don't even know if fans are going to say great over that, considering what's accused here. If he gets on the field, fine. But if he doesn't get on the field, it's not like they're expecting much anyway. Guardians right now, they are in the division. Well, they've always been in the AL Central for a very long time. But they are 6 games back of the Detroit Tigers. We are only 1.5 games back of the wild card of the American League. I'm more worried about the wild card. Just get me in. We'll focus on everything else. It'd be nice to come back and win the division. I think it'd be a lot of fun, considering the hell that we were in just last month. It'd be a blast, but I just want to get into the postseason. I think it feels to a certain degree, and I want to see if Jim Costa and John Jansen agree with me on this or anything. There's a question of the panic for the Tigers. They have not played great baseball here over the last month and a half. And I think maybe the Tigers might be thinking more about the Guardians than the Guardians are thinking about the Tigers right now. But here's Jim Costa.
I would say we're on the edge of panic, collectively. He said a 6-game lead with 50 to go is still big.
It is still big. This on the heels of what the Tigers did last year. Yeah. You need two teams to perform at the end of the year the way that they have it all season long.
Yeah, look, they didn't do enough at the deadline. I don't think they're a serious World Series contender. They didn't conduct themselves as such. From that standpoint, sure, I'm panicked that they're going to waste what was a great first half of the season and they won't contend for a World Series. I'm not panicking about losing this division. And that doesn't mean I'm blind to what's going on. We gave people the numbers. They've dropped 6 of the last 7 series.
Audio courtesy 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. See, I remember having the same conversation, Lima, with you and Owen last year where it's like, hey, when do you start to get a little bit pensive here? Where does the number have to go?
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD. Pod one on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, in the division for you to get pensive. When it was at 6, when you still have a week of baseball, I remember that was my number, like a week of baseball. Plus you have that off day, so 6 is a week. A week of baseball, I think you're still comfortable. But honestly, I'm not thinking about the Tigers. I'm not thinking about chasing down Detroit and winning the division. If they do it, great. I'm trying to get to the wild card spot where the Red Sox, the Mariners, and the Yankees are. And trying to get there, especially because I know that the strength of schedule has changed a little bit, but these are still a lot of teams that you should go out there and rock and be able to have a chance to go back to the postseason. And I think that would be a hell of an accomplishment considering what we've been talking about with this team here over the last several months.
Well, we'd said once they got buried in such a hole and it looked like their season was over, I think most of us, we all sat there and said, all right, this... the season's probably a wrap. Let's get the kids up. I mean, I think that was almost a unanimous sentiment. And now I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, maybe Owen was right. Owen was the one guy that did not, I say near unanimous, because Owen was the one guy who didn't give up on him, especially because they had that little surge right before the end of the first half,
yeah, they
right?
They went 6-7 right before the All-Star.
Yeah, game. So I think that you're now looking at a team that absolutely has the pitching rotation to get it done if they stay healthy. The bullpen, while it's never going to be as dominant as it was last year or when they had Andrew Miller at the end of 2016, with those two caveats, this bullpen, I think by and large, has the opportunity to get it done. And now you're just looking for anything offensively. So the roadmap is there. When they lost 10 in a row, and no team looks good when you lose 10 in a row, just ask the Mets fans right now how they feel about their team and their $340 million payroll. By the way,
it keeps getting larger.
I know, it's $380 million. By the way, it is funny. I'm listening to that clip in Detroit, and I'm like, is anybody thrilled with their baseball team? Is anybody thrilled? Because they're saying we didn't do anything at the deadline. I'm like, oh, hey, that join Cleveland Sports Talk Radio.
We sent anybody.
And then move over to the Mets. Are they happy with their team right now? Hell, the Dodgers fans aren't thrilled that they didn't pull off a Stephen Kwan trade. I'm like, boy, baseball, just nobody's thrilled.
Gotta tell you.
No matter what your payroll is, nobody's happy. The Yankees fans, they're miserable.
The only fan base I think is having any fun, judging by any of the news I read and any of the video I see, is Seattle. That's like the only fan base I think that is having any fun whatsoever. I don't know if you saw a different fan base. I think, though, this is why I'm more focused on the wild card than anything. You got a run coming up here, and you always play the schedule game. I mean, they're talking 50 to go. We're talking 50 to go. Miami's bad. Arizona, not good. They sold. Texas, where they're at right now, I mean, they're kind of in the thick of it right with you. I think they're only 1.5 games back right now. So that one, at the end of August, you have this run here where it's a sneaky, tough run. You have Texas, which is in the thick of things.
They're right with you.
You have Tampa Bay. They are right with you. Okay. You have Tampa Bay, who's kind of in, kind of out there, 4.5 out. Then you have Seattle and Boston, who are right there, 1-2 mm-hmm. for the wild card spot. So you have chances to make up. And that's where I'm just more concerned. I don't really, we don't see Detroit until September 16th. Yeah. Exact. September 16th, you have two series, one beginning 16th through the 18th, the other one 23rd through the 25th. So I don't have very many chances with Detroit other than two quick series. This one,
that's where I disagree with you. You actually have more chances with Detroit than the people that you, because your head-to-head games are two games, essentially, right? You win and they lose. In the wild card chase, you can win all you want. If everybody else is winning, you make up no ground on it. It's just a smaller number to get to.
But right? It's true. Exactly. That's why I'm more concerned with that. It's only 1.5, and I have both Seattle and Boston on that list, where Boston is 2.5 up. Well, the Mariners are 1.5 up right now.
I do want to point out, though, everybody has, I shouldn't say everybody. I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, well, Detroit's just going through their slump now. You went through your slump, and now Detroit is going through theirs. I would say, though, look at who they're playing and look at who the Guardians played when the Guardians went through their slump. The Guardians were playing teams over 500, which, Anthony, you've pointed out that's who they struggled with. Well, they don't have many of those teams left, right?
That's spicy.
They've played all these teams already.
Yeah.
The Tigers got swept by the Pirates, who they lost the first game to Paul Skeens, and it's hard to beat Paul Skeens. But then you get swept by the Pirates. They just lost. We played Minnesota this weekend, who had just traded off their whole team, right? They lost 1 of 4 to Minnesota. But they still won the series, right? Detroit went out and won one game against Minnesota, a team that has raised the flag on the season already. They're losing to inferior opponents. The Guardians, for the most part, have not done that yet.
The Mets series, I think the Mets series, you want to talk about turning heads. I think the Mets series turned heads. Minnesota's not good. Colorado's not good. Mets series went in 3 in a row against the Mets, doing it the way they did. Obviously, with Gavin Williams and the near no-hitter. I think that does turn a lot of heads. We got more Guardians coming up here in a little bit. 216-474-0092. Finally, somebody outside of Cleveland said this, because Lima, you and I said this. I believe Nick and Jonathan said this. And maybe just Nick, but I don't want to misquote anybody on that one. But you were steadfast with me on this. But when we're in Cleveland, you guys just have Stockholm Syndrome. You guys don't know any better. You're just Cleveland fans. Okay, well, thank God Dan Orlovsky said this.
Will everybody stop with the Shedeur Sanders is being set up to fail narrative? Who do you want to start the game? It's preseason week one. First option, Joe Flacco. He's played for like 20 years. He's not going to start preseason week one. The next two options would be a Kenny Pickett or a Dylan Gabriel. Both are dealing with hamstring injuries. Neither has practiced a ton recently. If they've done anything, I believe it's been 7-on-7. Who do you want to start the game? The next two options are Shedeur and Snoop Huntley. Shador's been there. Snoop Huntley just got there. So while Shedeur may not have had reps with the ones, what else do you want them to do in Cleveland? It's an opportunity for him. It may not be the ideal opportunity. Very rarely is it for a fifth round pick, but it's an opportunity for him to go out there and do in a game what many have reported he's done in practice. Stop with the setup to fail narrative.
Audio courtesy Dan Orlovsky on X. By the way, Twitter action is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, 653 in 7 seconds for those scoring at home. I needed somebody else to say that outside of Cleveland like here, because you and me saying it, it just wasn't getting through. He does have a massive fan base. This isn't the first massive fan base we've ever dealt with. People are like, oh, Cleveland media is not ready. It's like, guys, we have Baker. I had Johnny. Like, we're kind of used to this. But they didn't believe.
We're more used to it than anybody, any other team. We are the team with the owner that allegedly has done this every time. So what are you talking about?
It was nuts to me where, like, the Browns are diabolical for doing this. This is a hostage situation, which was thrown out by, what, Hugh Douglas on ESPN yesterday?
Yeah.
And I'm going, please, for the love of God, somebody who is in Bristol or Los Angeles or New York, for the love of God, do you not see? Like, hey, they might mess it up, but they are going to mess it up by accident. They're not going to screw them on purpose, Tone.
No, obviously not. And look, if you're looking for ideal, well, how many ideal situations are there in the preseason in general? Okay, what, maybe Joe Burrow had an ideal situation yesterday, but 95% of the quarterbacks starting preseason games, especially the guys that are buried on the depth chart, like, it's not going to be an ideal situation. You're not going to get Jerry Jeudy tonight, unfortunately. That is a bummer. I will say I would have really loved. I don't care that he hasn't really practiced with Jeudy. I do know they've thrown, you know, after practice at times and before practice. I would have loved to see that, because just Jerry Judy's the one guy that has that playmaking capability that I think we could have had some fun with tonight. So that is a bummer for me. I understand it, but it is a bummer. But no, if you're looking for ideal in the preseason, then what league have you been watching? And then it kind of shows that people really don't watch preseason games or analyze it.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.